Good evening. The world has its pageants, and when we think on them, generally we don't have a whole lot of positive thoughts. Generally, we don't tend to think wonderful things about pageants. I don't know, I don't at least. I tend to think of shows like Toddlers and Tiaras, and I don't think a lot of people think very highly and very warmly of that show. Ever since Donald Trump bought Miss America or Miss Universe or whichever one he owns, I don't think people have wonderful feelings about these pageants. I think they've almost become a spoof of themselves. But the church also has its own version. Well, the church has virgins too. But hopefully a lot of them. But start over with that. The church has its own version of pageants. It has its own version of pageantry. We saw this on Palm Sunday. On Palm Sunday, we live out one of the most well-known version of the church's form of pageantry. When everybody goes in, we're all waving around our palms and we're saying, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is our form of pageantry. This is us reliving what Christ does. This is our form of pageantry. We make a living play of Christ's life. In fact, when we really look at it, the Eucharist itself is really a pageant of sorts, because we live out what Christ did in the Last Supper. And in a manner of speaking, we live out here on earth in our own pale, shadowy way of doing it what goes on in the heavenlies. We're living out heavenly worship such as we can do here on earth. If you read through Revelations, you see the altar, you see the great company in white robes, you see the candlestands, you see the altar and the lamb and chalices, and you see all that kind of stuff. And so you see the crowds crying out, "Holy, holy, holy," and all of that is there. This is kind of our way of living it out. And we think that Palm Sunday is sort of the highlight because it's the most celebratory. And it's where everybody is really, in spite of the fact that we go from, you know, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed be you, comes in the name of the Lord," to "crucify him" within about half an hour. We think that's the highlight of exaltation. And it is kind of the highlight of exaltation up until Easter. But it's not the time that we live out the pageantry the most. The time that we live out the pageantry the most is really tonight. Because tonight, more than any other night, we live out the life of Christ, not just in our words, but in our deeds. Because in this service, we live out the Last Supper. Not just living out St. Paul's words and the words of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where we take the bread and say, "This is my body," and we take the wine and say, "This is my blood." We do that every Sunday. But we look at John's words and we live those out. And we really think about what that means. And this year, as my first year as rector, as pastor of this church, this means something very different than it meant last year for me. Because Jesus took his disciples and he celebrated with them, and as dinner was wrapping up, he got up and he took off the vast majority of his clothes. And he laid them down, and he went and he got this basin of water, and he filled it up, and then he went and he washed his disciples' feet. Now, this was such a menial task that it was generally reserved for the lowest ranked person in the household. But it was so bad that Jews, who were sort of more ethically above everybody else in the day and age, actually had a rule that you couldn't compel a Jewish slave to do it. They couldn't do it. You couldn't say, "You go wash this guy's feet." If a Jewish slave got up and went and washed somebody's feet, it was a sign of devotion. It was a sign of affection. It was, "I care about you enough to do the most disgusting job that there's actually a rule that I don't have to do. But I'm going to do it anyway because I care about you." So he took off his outer garment and his toga and his tunic, and he laid them all down, and he wrapped himself in a towel, and actually says that he dried their feet with the towel. Think about that. King of the universe, Lord of all creation, he who told the rivers where they could run, the mountains where they could climb, the sun and the stars and the moon where they could go, got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of a bunch of roughneck Galileans who walked the streets and the highways and byways of a bunch of dirt towns that didn't have sewers. Think about that. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to live this out, and we're going to see the pageantry of it. And it's not the celebratory pageantry. It's not festive. It's the opposite of festive. We're all going to take off all of these vestments, all of these fineries. We're going to get out of the white. We're going to just be down to our basic cassocks. And we're going to get down on our hands and knees, and we're going to wash feet. And it's going to be a heck of a lot better than it was 2,000 years ago. Loads. But still, it means something. It's really easy for somebody who stands up here to get the idea that, well, you know what? Jesus said it best. They love to hear themselves go through the streets and hear people go, "Rabbi, Rabbi, Father, Father, here, Father, sit down here. Here, Father, why don't you go here?" It's real easy to get an elevated opinion of yourself. It's real easy to start thinking you're better than you are. Heck, when you get right down to it, my living comes off of your donations. It's really, really important. It's exceptionally important that clergy take off all the fineries, all the suits, all the vestments, get down on their hands and knees, and wash their people's feet. Now, it's one thing for priests. There's a lot of pastors in megachurches that would do well to remember that as well. we can't ever forget, I can't ever forget what Jesus said. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Because inasmuch as I need to remember that it's my job to serve not only my congregation, but the kingdom of God, we have to remember that Jesus didn't say, this is just for you guys. It's for everybody. Everyone is called to do this. All of us are called to do this. We're called to serve. We're called to care for people. We're called to care for the poor, the homeless, the wretched, the destitute. People who the rest of the world rejects. Peter was no one to be exalting. None of those people were glorious people upon whom to build a church. None of those people were people who you would go, you know what, you're going to be a fantastic missionary. Let's put a big whole prophetic ministry at your hands. That's going to be awesome. No. These were fishermen and tax collectors and people we don't even know who they were because they were nobodies. But God knew who they were. And they went and they served. And they went to people who the rest of the world considered trash. They ministered to the poor. They ministered to lepers. They ministered to eunuchs. They ministered to people who weren't even allowed to go into the temple, much less to have access to God. And they ministered to them, and the kingdom of God spread. And we have to echo that. We have to live that out. We're not just called to be in our own little niche and lift each other up. Yeah, we're called to do that, but we're called to do more. We're called to go out and serve our neighbors. And remember that just like Christ emptied himself, in the words that St. Paul uses in Philippians, he emptied himself. We need to empty ourselves of the idea that we're above anybody else. We need to make ourselves in our own esteem low enough to get down and tie the shoes of the homeless man. To help him with his socks. To even wash his feet. Because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus wouldn't see him and then go give 20 bucks to the homeless shelter. He'd get down on his knees and he'd help him. That's what he calls us to do. Now in a few minutes, we're going to live this out. And I want to remind you of something. I've heard a long time ago, more than a decade ago, this idea that this is about penance and forgiveness, and that if somebody had ever wronged you, you ought to go to them and apologize and bring them up and wash their feet as a sign of your apologizing to them. That's not at all what this text says. This is about humility. This is about being a servant. If you've wronged somebody, you need to go and apologize to them. But washing somebody's feet is not about penance or forgiveness. It's about humility. And Jesus lives that out as he strips off all of his outer human dignity. And he gets down on his knees and he washes the feet of the disciples. And we'll do that here. As much as we live out the pageantry at other times, and we're up front, and we're celebrating, we're doing all these fancy things, at least once a year, we get down on our hands and knees and visibly, physically serve in a humble, humble way. Now, it's not like we don't do it other times. We're out here on work days. We're doing other things like that. But this is a real reminder that we need to serve. But, see, Jesus did something else. After he washed the feet of the disciples, he took the cup, he took the bread, he gave himself in a way that was even more amazing, more humble, because he gave himself, he made himself Lord of all the heavens, God of all creation, King of the universe. He made himself bread and wine. And then he put himself in this bread and wine. And he said, take this, eat it. This is for you. He didn't make himself some incredible statue that would everybody could see. And he said, you know, worship me. And everybody was like, no, he took the most humble, simple matter anywhere. Just bread and wine. And he gave it to people forever. So that wherever we were, throughout the ages, anybody who wanted to have a part of him could. They didn't have to travel to the ends of the world. They didn't have to go do these miraculous feats or these legendary epic quests. He gave himself. Almost as miraculous as the King of the universe getting down on his hands and knees and washing people's feet was God saying, here is my body. Here is my blood. Take this. This is for you. You know what? Here, I'll trade you. You give me all your sins, all your wretchedness, all your nastiness, and you can have my righteousness. You can have my holiness. I'll take your sinful nature. You take my divine nature. We'll trade. How about that? And because you keep sinning, we'll make this deal over and over and over again until you get it right. How about that? How's that deal? God continues to give himself. He continues to get down on his knees for us. This is God who doesn't just give himself. He gets down on his knees for us. He becomes the simplest matter for us. He thinks himself, it's not that he thinks himself so little, he thinks us so worth it that he does it over and over and over again. As we go through the next few days, as we go through the agony and the horrors of Good Friday, as we go through the exaltation and the jubilation of Easter, as we go through the pageantry of all of that, let's not forget that what Jesus did continually, over and over and over again, as he emptied himself, as he got down on his knees for his disciples, for us, wasn't because he didn't think highly enough of himself. It was because he thought that we were worth it. And he continues to think that. Of all creation. And as we go out into the world, we have to remember that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And so every person you see, Jesus would get down on his hands and knees for and give himself wholly and completely because he thinks they're worth it. And we have to have that same mind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.